Hey everybody, welcome into the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb. Today I wanted to get started by just kind of updating you on our greatest Oriole of all time bracket here as we are into the Final Four and Final Four voting about to end here in the bracket. We're about to get to our championship matchup, but those Final Four matchups, we had all chalk in the bracket. All four number one seeds getting to the Final Four. That is Brooks Robinson versus Jim Palmer. And Brooks with a lead at the time of this recording on Monday afternoon. And Cal Ripken versus Eddie Murray. Cal with an even more substantial lead as we record Monday afternoon. But remember to go vote in the bracket on our Twitter account at Locked On Orioles. And you can vote through about 11 a.m. on Tuesday morning for the Final Four. And then we will open up the championship round. It'll be 3 days of voting. You can get on our Twitter account and vote. Right now, it looks like it's going to be Brooks Robinson versus Cal Ripken, but we can see if Jim Palmer or Eddie Murray make a comeback trail here in the final day of Final Four voting. But, you know, it's been fun, this bracket we've done. For the greatest Oriole of all time, if you kind of go through the bracket, you know, we had a lot of chalk at the beginning. We got some upsets. Our really one big Cinderella was 10 seed J.J. Hardy making it to the Sweet 16. We had tough matchups, Jim Palmer against Frank Robinson, one of the tougher ones in the Elite Eight that led to a Final Four matchup for Jim Palmer, and the big argument there was, you know, do you go Jim Palmer, who maybe had one of the greatest Orioles careers of all time, or do you go with Frank Robinson, who was only an Oriole for 6 years, but may have been the best Orioles player ever for just the time that he was there, but the people voting and picking Jim Palmer. So we'll continue to talk about that matchup as we continue on the pod this week and kind of break down what our final vote matchup is and give you some even more info if it's going to be a tough selection between whoever is in that final round with all four number one seeds advancing to the Final Four. And the rest of this week, we've got some more good content too, as we will continue to get you some content here on the pod as you continue to stay at home. We'll have Javier from the Locked On Padres podcast. He's going to join us later in the week to talk about Manny Machado, what it was like for Padres fans in his first year in San Diego. John Mioli is going to join us this week as well, the Orioles reporter from the Baltimore Sun. Kind of break down the agreement between Major League Baseball and the MLBPA about contracts this year and what baseball is going to do if they do resume at some point this summer. And if you go back into the archives from last week, we had some good episodes last week. Go back to the beginning of last week. We had Matthew Pine on for a two-part AL wildcard game rewatch, the 2012 game between the Rangers and the Orioles. Then we had Anders Jorstad, the new voice of the Frederick Keys. Paul Frichtner, one of the voices of the Bowie Bay Sox, the new number two voice with Adam Pohl. They both joined us for episodes. Then we talked about our favorite opening day moments in Friday's episode. If you want to go back into the pod to listen to those from last week. But today, we will have maybe a little bit straying away from sports, at least in the second part of the pod here. But, you know, it's something important, and this morning, that is Monday morning, Maryland Governor Larry Hogan announcing, you know, a stay-at-home order for the state of Maryland, and Virginia did something similar, if you live in that area, to basically stay at home and, you know, you can go out and get your groceries and get food and go out for medical care as well. But, you know, they're trying to fight this COVID-19 and try and end what is currently a pandemic here in the U.S. And so we thought it was important to kind of break that down because you can see, you know, people saying that it's a stay at home, that it's a lockdown. But what are the true details of that? And despite this not being a, you know, a baseball guest, I wanted to have someone on who could break it down a bit for us and tell us what you need to know as a Maryland resident about this stay-at-home order from Governor Larry Hogan. And so as a University of Maryland alum myself who worked at the student paper, the Diamondback, the independent paper covering University of Maryland and beyond down in College Park, figured who would be better than to have a current writer for the Diamondback on the pod. So Matt McDonald, who is the Maryland State Politics reporter for the Diamondback, and Matt will join us here on the Locked On Orioles podcast to break down that stay-at-home order here in Maryland and what it means for all of you Maryland residents listening in. So we're going to take a quick ad break here, and then when we come back, it'll be Matt McDonald, state politics reporter for the Diamondback, helping us understand this stay-at-home order here in Maryland as we continue to get through these confusing somewhat and troubling times here in the U.S., but trying to get through it together. So again, Matt McDonald right after this break.
Do you hate stepping on the scale? Maybe it's because you haven't met the right one. A company called Withings produced the world's first smart scale, and they are still the best. In fact, Tom's Guide rated Withings Body Plus the best overall smart scale in 2020. If you're looking to lose weight, willpower is key, but so is having the right tools. Withings smart scales are known for durability and an exceptional user-friendly design. Step on and data from every weigh-in syncs automatically to the free app for iOS and Android via Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. Lots of smart scales don't have the Wi-Fi option, and it means you need to have your phone on you. But Withings Body Plus gives weight, full body composition, weight trend, even a local weather report. The scale can support up to 8 users and even know who is who. So here's the deal. You can get 25% off a Withings Body Plus right now at withings.com for a very limited time. Go to withings.com, that's withings.com/MLB to get 25% off Body Plus Body Composition Scale. That's withings.com/MLB to get 25% off Body Plus Body Composition Scale.
Okay, I'm pleased to welcome Matt McDonald, Maryland State Politics reporter for the Diamondback here on the pod. And Matt, thanks for taking a little time, which I know has probably been one of your busier days the last few weeks and what has been a crazy time here, especially in the state of Maryland.
No problem, Connor. Glad to be here. Yeah, it's been a crazy last couple of weeks, no doubt.
So, you know, obviously we're on what's usually a sports podcast, but obviously this becomes much more important, and wanted to give our listeners who are mostly in the state of Maryland listening to an Orioles-centric podcast kind of an update on what's going on today. And really, I think everyone knows, you know, Governor Hogan putting in a stay-at-home measure, but I think more importantly for people to know what that really means. So what do you think, from what he said, is kind of the biggest misconception on what this means for people living in Maryland, and what do people need to know?
Right. So there are a number of misconceptions about what the stay-at-home order means. For example, people were wondering, even some of my close friends, you know, whether this applied to, for example, people who need to go and take care of their pets. Can I buy pet supplies and go out and shop for my pet and make sure that they're actually getting fed? And you absolutely can. There are a number of exceptions to the stay-at-home order, including taking care of loved ones, friends, pets. If you need to, for example, if you are a college student or any other kind of student and you are taking classes from home now as a result of the coronavirus outbreak, you can actually go and buy materials, educational materials, and go out and essentially make purchases as you would need. And sorry, what was the other half of your question?
And then, you know, that's kind of you talked about the misconception, but, you know, what other than that is what, you know, the rundown of what this really means, the big points of Hogan taking this step today.
Got it. Well, unfortunately the big driver behind this big step was the fact it was twofold. Hogan cited the fact that there are a number of people who were just not taking the social distancing steps required to stop the outbreak or really just even slow it down. There are a number of arrests, actually, unfortunately, that were made as a result of people who weren't not listening to the social distancing orders, either partying. I mean, according to the press secretary's, the governor's press secretary's Twitter feed, 36 minutes ago, he announced that state police had actually charged someone with providing alcohol at a party to teens at a Carroll County hotel. And so that was just today. And so really, I mean, apparently the governor feels that this is necessary to make sure that people are actually paying attention. And really the other half of that is, you know, we're looking at, unfortunately, some of the lower end of the predictions in terms of the number of cases at the peak in the United States, the lower end of that estimate is close to 100,000 cases. So this is Maryland responding to those really scary numbers and just trying to do our part, I suppose.
Exactly. And you know, I had asked you first about kind of misconceptions on, you know, what you can do, what you can't do. What has it been said, you know, what this means for businesses that were still open? Now, I know restaurants will stay open, but does it change anything for them or places of business, you know, smaller places of business that maybe do work with the state or work with the city? Has there been anything said about what it'll do for, you know, people who work in businesses like that who were still working for the past couple of weeks?
Yeah, absolutely. So the biggest changes are for what are called non-essential businesses. In terms of businesses that were already considered to be essential, for example, grocery stores and places where you can, you know, pharmacies, places where you can pick up medication, those circumstances are largely staying the same. You know, pharmacies are still going to be staying open. Grocery stores are still staying open. You can still buy alcohol. You know, that's not changing. And for places, for example, for restaurants that could offer carry out or delivery, that's all still going to be the same. What's changing is for what's called non-essential businesses. And those are things, I think of some examples here. Basically, they're just ordering all non-essential businesses to close. And you can still have a small staff who you kind of need to be there in terms of, you know, if you're looking to pay payroll or maintain the property, or if you have goods that are going to be perishable and you need to make sure that those don't expire, you can still go ahead and you can still have staff on site and make sure that you're doing the, you know, the bare minimum essentially to keep yourself in a holding pattern to get through this. You're allowed to do that. But in terms of non-essential businesses staying open, that is not allowed.
And now we've, you know, seen videos and seen things from other countries and especially places like Italy where, you know, streets are empty basically at this point. Is there another step beyond this stay-at-home order from Governor Hogan that he or other governors can put in that's kind of, I don't know how to say, a next step before, you know, some hopefully, you know, avoidable scenario where it's complete and total lockdown? Is there another step, has he said anything like that it could get to beyond this?
I mean, my impression is that they're really sort of taking it one step at a time. They're trying to stay ahead of this rather than get behind. In terms of another step that's possible in between, I mean, maybe you could step up enforcement, but it seems like they're already kind of trying to do that. I mean, clearly, if the governor's press secretary is tweeting out these arrests, they're trying to make it clear to people that they're taking this very seriously. The law enforcement is taking this stay-at-home order very seriously. If you're going out, for example, visiting friends, there's a chance that you might get stopped by police, and they might ask you, you know, do you have some sort of essential business that you're carrying out? And if you are not going out and about on essential business, I mean, it's a misdemeanor and you could go up to jail for a year, according to the order. So right now, it's just a sort of how much enforcement they want to do based on this order. And then the next step, like you said, unfortunately, there might not be an intermediary step. The next step might be just ordering people to stay at home, just like Italy. And I'm not sure if Spain is doing that, but That would be scary. That'd be a scary step, and hopefully it doesn't come to that.
So I kind of wanted to ask you because, all this is going on and people are going to work less. A lot of people are working from homes. People have lost their jobs as well. But for someone in the media who's covering all this going on, you're one of the basically industries that the work doesn't stop at this point. So how is, what you've done and how you've covered, Maryland state government changed over the past couple weeks?
It's changed dramatically. I mean, we went from, I mean, I started on the state politics beat about like a couple months ago, and that was when the state legislature was still in session, and the plan was for that to continue all the way until sort of the latter half of April, and but as you might know, the Maryland General Assembly actually decided to close things down and adjourn significantly early, about a month earlier than they intended to. So I went from, sort of covering laws that were affecting students in particular and Marylanders more broadly on a weekly basis to, well, state lawmakers have shuttered the entire legislature and they passed 600 plus bills in one day on their last day, on their last few days, I should say. And after that flurry of lawmaking, went home, and so now I'm basically on the Governor Hogan press conference coronavirus beat.
And how is that? We've seen the press conferences from, when President Trump speaks and kind of the spacing out of reporters. Is that kind of happening too at the state level? Does it just kind of have a different feeling when you're there?
I wasn't able to make it in person to today's press conference. There, I was watching over a live stream, but I did attend one just a couple weeks ago. I took photos of that as well, actually, and that was still indoors. There were a lot of press and video crews, actually, all very close together, elbow to elbow with people. And today's conference he held outside, apparently to help people space out. So, yeah, even that part of it has changed. That's a really good point.
And so, with this order to stay at home, you can still go get groceries, still go get food, and obviously still go receive medical care. But just wanted to wrap up on this. It basically seems like, and I've seen people saying this, that Governor Hogan was basically trying to today show, really how serious this is. And I'm sure he's frustrated with some people not in the past week or two getting how serious this is. But this kind of seemed like the step to say, look, this is what we need to do. All you should be doing when you leave your house is something completely essential.
To boil it down, the entire point of the executive order that Governor Hogan issued was, if you don't need to leave your house, don't leave your house, period. Like you said, if you don't need to take care of somebody, if you're not getting groceries, if you're not getting medicine, if you're not doing something that you absolutely have to do, you shouldn't even be hanging out with friends. You shouldn't be visiting people. You definitely shouldn't be attending gatherings of any kind. You should be staying at home.
Well, that pretty much sums it up well. And obviously, as we've talked about, some uncertain, some scary times. But on a podcast where we're usually talking about sports here and talking about the Orioles, Matt, I thank you a lot for coming on today and helping to inform some people. Again, a lot of our listeners live in the state of Maryland. I think a lot of people just wanted to know more about today's order and what it means for them and trying to keep them safe.
Absolutely. I'm glad to help inform people. It's the stay-at-home order. It sounds super scary, and in some ways it is, but it's not as dire as it sounds. You still take walks. It's not the end of the world, but it certainly is going to be. We're in for a couple of weeks, that's for sure.
Well, Matt, thank you so much and continue your great reporting and stay safe out there as well.
Will do. You too, Connor.
So again, our thanks to Matt McDonald, who covers Maryland state politics for the Diamondback, for joining us here on the pod and just kind of breaking down, what you can and can't do now with this stay-at-home order in the state of Maryland from Governor Hogan, and we hope you enjoyed that. I know it was a little bit of a sway away from sports, but I know a lot of people had a lot of questions about what Monday's order really meant for them personally and for the state as a whole, so I hope Matt helped out with that. If you like the pod, remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or iTunes or Spotify, wherever you listen to this podcast. Give us a rating and a review. It helps a lot. This has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And next, tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Locked On MLB.